Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Kristen.
Oh, you're looking real cute today.
Am I?
Yeah, totally.
Thank you. I'm makeup-free au naturel.
That's how I like you.
Raw and real and ready to podcast.
And so here we jump in. Hello, friends.
Hello. We're so happy that you are here.
Oh, and I'm so happy to be here. I just got back to New York City after being gone for basically a month.
Yes, and we're in the same room together, which hasn't happened in 2 weeks, which is very long for us.
I know. It's like, it's been an eternity. It's been 2 weeks.
So we are back. As some of you know who've been following our little journeys, we went on an incredible European adventure together. And then Kristen went to Los Angeles and I came back to New York. And now we are reunited and we are here doing a fabulous series for you that is all about questions from our audience. So if you have ideas, questions, things you'd like us to address in the podcast, if you want to share with us what's going on in your life, let us know, because we are on a mission to serve you and your desires.
We really like to serve your desires. And on that note, we will read this letter that came from one of our listeners, and we feel like this letter itself is a series in its own right.
Yes, it's a little mini series.
It's a little mini series. There's quite a few questions in here, and so as we read it, we were like, oh, we could jam on this letter for a while. So here we go. We'll jump right in. Hello, beautiful sister goddesses.
That's us.
What a great start. I hope this email reaches you both miraculously. If you didn't already know this, I'm an avid listener of your glorious podcast, and I was wondering if I could submit a request topic. I am leaving New York and will be moving out to LA next month. I'll be spending some time in Alabama with my family to decompress and detox a bit over the harshness and overstimulation of New York City before my move. And of course, this giant move is bringing up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is an obvious time of letting go, closing one chapter and beginning a new one. While I had been primarily focusing on how excited and happy I am to be moving out west and the amazing new creative and personal opportunities that I am ready to receive from this new chapter of life, this last month here in the city, while I am wrapping everything up, has my ego and fear-filled delusions on full blast. They literally did all of those S's.
Yes, it's everything that you want.
All of my self-sabotaging behaviors are dying to express themselves, take over my life, and keep me distracted from my true feelings and experience of what is really going on. My ego is really trying to battle me right now, and I'm doing my best to stay connected to God and any grounding practices that I can. I lived in the same beautiful apartment for the 5 years that I have lived here, and while I have been donating, giving away, selling my stuff off every day for a while now, I am shocked in my experience of how difficult even the idea of leaving this home and will be. It says, I am a Cancer and I really nest in my home.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know that this move is for my greatest good. Attachment is like, hey, what about me? I'm also having a difficult time in navigating how to gracefully leave the relationships behind that I do not want to carry with me moving forward with as much love and respect as I can.
Mm.
That being said, old heartbreaks, wounds, and rage are flaring up towards lovers past and friendships that went sour, and I can't seem to tell what the right course of action would be. Do I have a sit-down heart-to-heart and share the truth of in my experience with compassion, an open heart and gratitude for our relationship, even though I know many of them are sadly incapable of giving and receiving the level of love and intimacy I would share? Or do I just leave, delete them from everything, and never talk to them again?
Hmm.
My whole mantra in this move has been, take the best, leave the rest. Home items, clothes, books, relationships, and experiences. With as much excitement as I am experiencing, I'm also experiencing the same level of terror. It isn't constant, but it's enough to where I know it isn't serving me and my greatest good now or later. My stress levels have gotten so high that my body completely shut down 2 days ago. My vision started blurring. I was confused with who I was and where I was, brain fog. And I was vomiting, extremely nauseous and in pain, so great that my friend had to come over and walk me to the hospital. I think my body was having a physical manifestation of what my emotional body has been experiencing, and it was not cute. I've been navigating this move, moving out, and everything that goes with it primarily by myself, and it has also brought up how hard it is for me to ask for help when I need it. Even when I was in the hospital, I felt guilty that my friends were there to help me, and I was focusing more if they were okay rather than focusing on the healing I was so obviously in need of. All this being said, and here we come to the questions. I am wondering how I can stay connected to my center, to my divine purpose as an artist, and to God during a time where I feel like I have very little control over everything. I am a recovering control freak, so I have my PhD in controllery. How can I truly take the best and leave the rest, and how can I gracefully and lovingly let go of who and what no longer serves me? How can I cultivate the bravery and faith that this new chapter will not be a repeat of the one before? And how can I create the divine, exciting, abundant, and beautiful life I know I am meant to live in terms of romantic relationships and career development? How can I fully and completely step into my star power, maintain my star power energy on a day-to-day basis with joy and humility, and trust that I won't fall on my face and hurt myself or others by living in the magnitude of myself? This is a huge step in me growing up and growing into the phenomenal woman I know that I am destined to thrive as. And I'm sure you both have experienced similar trials and tribulations that perhaps you would be willing to share what has helped you during similar times in your lives. I love you both and lift both of your names every morning during my prayer time. Any guidance, advice, wisdom you would be willing to share would be miraculous.
I feel like, I mean, that was a head full, a mouthful. That was a lot of information. Obviously, I'm sure you listeners at home are thinking, I got some of that. But it is this beautiful thing of there's so much richness to reflect on there. And I thought to myself, even if I took one sentence of that email at a time and wrote about it in my journal, I would have so many insights and questions and curiosities. And so we thought there was so much beautiful, compelling material here, and we just wanted to dive in. So we're going to start today with the first question, which was ultimately a question about how can I continue to feel connected to my center, my purpose, and to my, what I would call, divine, when I feel like everything in my life is completely out of control. And I'm sure all of us listening here have had moments where our life has spun so far out of our control. We're asking, how did I get here? Sometimes it feels like you wake up and it's just getting through the day, because it feels like no matter what you do, so much of it is out of your reach. And what I was thinking about as a starting point of the conversation, when she was saying, how can I stay connected to my center, to my purpose, and to my divine source when I feel so out of control? I thought to myself, actually, anytime I'm trying to control is when I'm disconnected from my center, my purpose, or my divine source. And the reason I think that is because my center, or my spirit, the energy that I am, which quantum physics tells us is 99.99999% of what we are, is our energy, our spirit, our soul, our consciousness. That part of us has its own wisdom. It's timeless. It's outside of time and space. It isn't subject to the rules of form, of time, of space, of limitations, of gravity, of anything. It's spirit, it's consciousness. So it has its own wisdom, it has its own way. For me to impose my mind, which is my form's way of doing something upon it, is actually a huge limit to what could be possible in my life. Similarly with my purpose, we talk all the time about purpose being your dharma, your reason for being here, what you were created for. Well, your purpose is an answer to a question or a calling that was needed before you arrived. So that presence, that calling, that purpose decided to manifest itself through you as the perfect vessel for it to be here on the planet. And it has its own wisdom. It has its own way. All of your dreams, anything you want to write, anything you want to create, any character you want to play within that entity, it has information for you. So part of our listening is, how can I step back and not be in control of this process? Because you have so much information for me. And then finally, God, love, nature, whatever you consider divine to be, you know, quantum physics tells us that all energy is one. And so there is no difference between the energy of God's source and the energy of your own spirit. It's this oneness with this higher power, this higher consciousness that we have constant access to because we are also it. And so our job is to say, how can my mind, my humanness, my limited self that can only see one step ahead of me, that lives in this linear way, that can only see life according to sometimes my conditioning, sometimes my limiting beliefs, things that I've been taught that maybe aren't true, things that I've carried that are baggage or some scars. How can I, if I'm seeing through those eyes, I'm trying to always control through those foggy lenses, let's say. And divine source is just clarity. It's just complete, pure, open wisdom that is available to us if we get out of the way. So for me, all that accumulates into saying, when you feel like you are completely out of control, you're probably finally getting somewhere because you're probably finally starting to be connected to the wisdom of your purpose, of your soul, and of your spiritual center.
It's as if when the universe starts to break apart your life, there's a voice that is saying, baby, I am teaching you how to surf.
Ooh.
Right? Let me break apart all the structures. Do things feel like they're falling apart? Fantastic. Now I can really talk with you.
Wow.
Now I can really be with you. Now you no longer need to cling to things because you know you're being held and supported. I think back to a time in my own life, and I've told this story before on a podcast, but I was living with the first boyfriend I'd ever lived with, and I had gone deep into my spiritual practice. I was reading all of the books. I was journaling. I was like 29. And after about a year and a half, the relationship went up into flames. It was a wonderful time for me to learn about forgiveness, but he had an affair. I found out about it one night. I packed up all my stuff very dramatically and moved out. Of course, Krista now would have dealt with it in a totally different way, but God bless myself for learning. And I went to my friend's house and was sleeping on her couch, and I was like, what now? And what I know is everything had to break apart because the divine was like, hey, baby girl, now our real work begins. And now I'm going to teach you who you really are. I'm going to teach you about how successful you are. I'm going to teach you the real definition of love. I'm going to teach you the power of forgiveness. I'm going to teach you how to build up from the inside out. And one of those things that was really important for me to learn was that in this life, anytime I try to hold on to something, when we talk about like clinging to form, it actually keeps us in a place where we have, I want to say like calcified or made the thing that is formed dead. By clinging to it, it kills it. I was actually thinking of this Joseph Campbell quote, maybe I'll look up and I'll post in the Create community, that says it in much bigger and more beautiful words. But it's like clinging to an object filled with energy. When you cling to it, it kills the energy within it.
Right. It's like picking a flower.
Yes, that's right.
I want this flower. I want this flower to be mine. I want this flower to be with me. I never want the flower to change or be apart from me. So let me pick it and hold it. But then it dies.
Exactly. So what we learn then is, how can I be with the energy that is moving through life without needing anything to be any certain way? That there's and what that does is it turns us in to plug into our inner center, right? And,
yeah.
And to plug into the divine, so that there is a current that goes into our hearts and up into that energy that animates all things. And that becomes so safe and secure that it doesn't even matter what goes on in the outer world. So when it feels like the outer world is breaking apart, your relationships, your job, where you live, any of that kind of first chakra stuff, fantastic. Now we're going somewhere totally new. And what I learned for myself is how I was able to really hold big multi-million dollar projects that get very, very, you would say, scary in terms of you know, the world's wisdom, is I got so good at anchoring myself internally and with the divine that it allowed me to hold more.
Well, I do think that there's such a wisdom in that understanding, that if you want a bigger life, this is actually part of the process. Because I know there is that feeling of whenever we're going on our own strength, we kind of know we can only go so far, right? Like, you know that you maybe be able to can run a marathon, but not two in a row.
Yeah.
Because your physical body can't hold that.
That's right.
Because you are form. We are, of course, this spiritual entity that's 99% energy, but we are also a body that is decaying every day. This is an inevitability of life, that we are up against also limitation being physical form.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a wisdom in saying, when we're trying to do it all on our own strength, we are trying to live a big life on limited resources.
Mm.
And we can only get so big. And so I do think there's sometimes an emptying out that happens from the universe, from spirit, on purpose, not to hurt or punish us, but to say, I'm trying to get you used to the fact that you're not the one in charge here, so that you surrender your control to something bigger than you, something more unlimited than you, something that can be your co-creator, that can take you further than you can ever go on your own, so you can have more abundance, more projects, more money, more compassion, more of an open heart, more of everything. Because life is about experience. We are here to grow and to evolve and to have the contrast of experience, so that the way we live the fullest life is by having the biggest experience of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we can have the biggest experience of life is if we surrender to the fact that we're not supposed to do it alone.
That's it. And when you really open yourself up to that power channel, all of a sudden infinite power can flow through you. I'm going through a thing right now where I suddenly have so many shows that
have
come in.
You have so many shows.
I have so many shows that are happening right now. And in my own strength, I could not do it.
Yes.
But I am really grateful that I know the power of the infinite. And I just trust you're going to line everything up perfectly. Exactly the person I'm supposed to see at this moment, the call's going to come at this time. If I try to control my own schedule right now, it would not be a cute thing. But if I can live in moment-to-moment trust of where am I to be right now? Who am I connecting with?
Mm.
What is flowing through me right now? And trust that everything I need is always there in the moment that I need it. This was the best thing about that time in my life when I was, like, quote unquote, homeless. Do you know what the universe gave me?
Mm.
The universe gave me this beautiful house in Malibu to go live in. The universe would give me this incredible, like, gorgeous cabin in the middle of the woods. Like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these incredible resources came that were so much bigger than anything I could have pictured for myself.
Yeah.
Right? So that happened that time when I was moving out of that relationship and didn't know where I was going to go. You were just talking to me this morning about a friend of yours, a friend of ours, actually, who's an actress, who all of a sudden just got this dope pad in Brooklyn given
yes,
to her.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Same idea. She you know, was having a light year work-wise and, you know, was concerned financially and wanted to have a shift in her life and wasn't happy in her current apartment anymore. And she was paying so much money for it and wasn't sure if she wanted to stay in New York or go somewhere else. And she just surrendered her apartment. She let it go. She put all of her stuff in storage. And it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then a friend of hers said, oh, I just booked a big job in LA for several months. Go stay at my two-bedroom apartment overlooking the botanical gardens and live your best life for basically no money. So now she's getting this beautiful experience of something that was even bigger than what she could have imagined, and it could not have come on her own steam. It had to come from taking action in trust instead of action towards certainty and knowing.
Well, and isn't that what the universe is trying to always get us to do, is can you let go of your small-minded certainty and knowing for a deeper trust, for a trust that is greater? Last week when we were talking about undoing underestimating, I talked about this passage in A Course in Miracles.
Mm.
And this topic is so perfect, I had to look it up. So if you're interested, go to A Course in Miracles. It's lesson 48. I'm going to go to the bottom of lesson 48. Now, A Course in Miracles uses masculine pronouns. They use a lot of him and a lot of God language. So feel free to change this to goddess and her if that is what does it for you. Here it is. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength. The awareness that there is nothing to fear shows that somewhere in your mind, though not necessarily in a place you recognize as yet, you have remembered God and let His strength take the place of your weakness. The instant you are willing to do this, there is indeed nothing to fear. So the awareness that there is nothing to fear goes at some place in your mind. You've said there's something here that's going to come in. There's something here that will take the reins. I like to think of it as all of us, we can only ever operate, as you were saying before, out of our limited paradigm, out of our own
Blinders,
right? But there's a broader perspective always that has our best interest at heart. So when we can surrender to that, it will navigate us. I was listening to Abraham Hicks this morning, and she was talking about, someone was saying, isn't it denying reality when you don't look at what the problem is?
Right.
Like, if you're like, oh, I'm not going to look at that. She's like, well, it's actually just trusting that there is a force that is working it out for you.
Yeah.
So if you put your gaze on something that you appreciate, it raises your vibration. It allows you to let go of that thing for a second so the universe can do its thing with it.
It's more just, you just get out of the way.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? It's like the universe is so loving, it doesn't even need us to participate. It's like, go have fun, I'll do the work.
That's it.
There was one time on our podcast, we said, oh, we should do a whole podcast about this, where it's like the feeling of the universe always wants you to be on vacation and it'll show up and do the 9 to 5. And it's always saying, you just play. You just follow your desires. You just do what feels good. And if I need you to take an action step, I'll give it to you.
That's why inspired action is so good. I've been reading a lot of Joseph Campbell lately, and he says that the entire point of life is playing.
Yes.
Play, 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 play. It actually allows you to be more available for the universe to use you.
And I do always think that the universe desires for us to know how much it loves us.
Yes.
And I do believe that all communication from the universe is always trying to go, look how much I love you. Look how much I want to give to you. Look how great everything can be. That's constantly its intention for us. So our job is just to say, let me collect evidence for that. Let me shift my gaze to that at any moment. And the only way, it's like the only way we don't do it is when we're trying to control, because when we're trying to control, we don't trust that reality.
That's
and when
right.
we don't trust reality as it is, we construct a false reality. We put our beliefs into a false reality, and then the universe can only mirror back to us the false reality. Not because it's true, because it wants us so desperately to see the opposite. And sometimes it takes us a lot of contrast to get the message.
I just got this vision as you were talking of like, the divine heavenly hosts in all their glory, sitting around going, let's give her a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Let's make the trees extra green today.
Yeah.
Let's have this really cute 3-year-old walk by and give her a flower.
Yes.
Let's, and like thinking of all these different ways that they can delight
and
us
we
during
just keep
the day.
Missing it.
And yeah, like they're like, oh, she's thinking about time again.
Yeah.
Oh, she's thinking about scarcity
she's
again.
She's on her iPhone again.
Oh, she's
she
on her
it.
iPhone. Yeah, right.
She's
obsessing over these thoughts. Well, let's send her something else.
Yeah.
Let's send her a free coffee from the barista. Let's send her a, like, always trying to get our attention.
Always.
To be like, is she gonna loosen up her grip?
Right. And the source is never ending.
Never
and
ending.
It's like it's a fun
right
game.
Up. Yeah.
I wonder when she's gonna notice.
I wonder if she's gonna notice. Oh.
Who wants us to notice something?
It's London calling.
Oh!
It was the FaceTime on my computer.
Someone wants us to notice something. You know, it's really interesting, but
it was more blessings coming in.
That's right. I remember when we were in Spain, and we had found this gorgeous park to run in.
Oh.
And, I mean, Kristen and I going for a run is kind of its own comedy routine.
Will you please tell them what our runs are like? Wait, by the way, if any of you would like this workout program, you may adopt it. Our workouts are ridiculous.
So we start with a casual walk where we talk about spiritual lessons, of course. And then at some point, we'll decide to start running, and I use the term running very loosely. Maybe a slow jog is more appropriate. We never run fast enough where we can't continue talking without losing our breath.
That's right.
But the game is whoever decides it's time to start running also gets to decide when the first break is. And oftentimes we'll make it 2 to 5 minutes and then we have a break and then we run again. And then the next person takes their turn. And then after 2 to 5 minutes, we have another break. And then usually somewhere around the third run, we stop for a coffee and a croissant.
Yes. I feel like this is how exercising should be.
Hilarious. One thing that I think about when I think about control, because I've really been someone who thought the more that I control, the more safe that I am.
Mm.
And that's really been a conditioning, I think, from very early in life, when if you're not sure that you are safe, if you're not sure whether it's financially, whether it's not feeling safe in your home, whether it's not feeling safe in your own body, you know, I know many people who have issues with food or eating. It really comes down to a fundamental not feeling safe or at home in their own body.
Yeah.
And using food to try to control or manipulate that. For me, it's this thing that I've learned over time. There's been so many situations in my life where there's been a really obvious shift where you're doing your best, using every bit of human force to control something, and at a certain point, you have to let go.
Yeah.
I was telling you this story earlier before we started recording that I remember driving down a hill on a really snowy day when I was living in Canada. And my car started fishtailing because I slipped on black ice on the car. And I remember doing all the tactics you're supposed to do to try to straighten the car out. And at a certain point, I was gaining speed going down the hill, and there was oncoming traffic. And there was kind of this choice of hit the other car or let yourself go off the road and trust for the best. So there was a certain moment where I was so in anxiety and in so much panic and trying to control the car, trying to make it happen, using every bit of human force, every bit of instinct, everything that I had inside my body to try to control this car. And there was a certain moment where I knew this car is going to crash. And you just actually let go of the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And you let the car crash. But I can tell you that the moment I let go of the steering wheel, the moment right before impact, it was almost like life started moving in slow motion. And there was this feeling of, this could be the last moment of my life. This could be fine. It could be whatever. And because you know that you can't control it, you completely surrender to life and whatever life wants for you. If life wants you to stay or go, it's no longer up to me. And the only way I can describe the moment is complete grace.
Mm-hmm.
It was still, it was quiet. It was like everything stopped. And then there was the crash. And then you open your eyes and you're there. And it was the most interesting feeling that I do think life operates this way, where we try to control and we put more effort. We try harder. Let me control more. Let me do more. Let me push harder. And there's a certain moment where we surrender the control that then grace steps in. And then after grace is like the big bang.
Yeah.
That's when the miracle can happen. That's when the magic happens. It'll never happen on our own strength. Or if it does, all we'll do is feel relieved and feel, well, of course it did because I worked hard and then I made something happen. You'll never actually get to experience life as miraculous as for you. And if the universe is always trying to prove that it's got your back, then the only way you'll actually ever receive that is if you let go and say, show me.
Show me. I like to practice this all the time with my projects is when I hit a thing that looks like a problem or an obstacle is visualizing handing it over and saying, ooh, I wonder how you're going to solve this one. Ooh, we don't have the lead and we start rehearsals in 2 weeks. I wonder how you're going to solve this one. Ooh, we can't get a consensus about this design element. I wonder how you're going to solve this. And I hand it over, which allows me to open up so that an answer can come in.
Mm.
So I keep participating, but I'm not trying to clench down on the answer needing to come from me, but really trusting there's a universal force here that is on my behalf.
It almost makes me think of, there was this funny saying of, why when you lose something, is it always in the last place that you look that you find it? And it's like, because it's the last place you look,
yes.
You found it. But it's the feeling for me is, all the time you spend searching, where's the keys? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? That's like us in our mind searching for an answer.
Yes.
Is it this answer? 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 And all of it is a waste of time because the answer is just where it is. And at some point you'll stumble upon it. So instead of wasting your time looking in all the places it isn't until you finally get to it, why don't you just spend your time doing something else? What makes me feel good? What makes me feel happy? I'll stumble upon the answer when it's time to.
I've actually noticed that when something starts to get hard or I lose something, it's a perfect opportunity to come back to source and to ask for help and for guidance. And when I practice it daily, it's just hilarious. It's almost like I'll be like, spirit, show me where my keys are. Oh, they're right there. Like,
right.
It's almost like, spirit, help me with blah, blah, blah. Oh. It's a wonderful coming back all day long. And when I look at this listener's letter, there's this thing that pops out to me. How can I stay connected to my center, to my divine purpose as an artist, and to God? And I just thought maybe you and I could share practices we use to stay connected to our center, to our Dharma, and to the divine throughout our day. And, you know, maybe it'll inspire someone.
Well, hey now. I know for me, and this is something we've talked about a lot, but for me, daily personal practice is the secret to all sustainable and lasting change. The yogis say that the only change that is sustainable is that which you continue doing when it goes from habit to sacred.
Yeah.
So I think to myself, when I was first learning to brush my teeth, it was something I would forget. I wouldn't do it all the time. It felt gross. It felt clunky. The yogis call it vitarka. It's like, even the word vitarka, like it's like hard. It's like, you know, it doesn't feel comfortable yet. And then over time, because you just do it consistently, it feels easier. And then you're doing it without thinking about it. And then it's kind of autopilot. And then it's a habit. So many of us have formed negative habits or have formed habits that support things that we don't want, or we formed habits that support false beliefs, false ideas that don't serve us. So maybe I have a habit for looking for the potential disasters and trying to spend my days putting out potential fires. Maybe that's a habit that I have. So the only way that I'm going to switch that patterning is if I get just as consistent with the opposite reality, which is expecting the miracle.
Mm.
Well, how can I get consistent with expecting the miracle? It's not just as easy as waking up in the morning and saying, okay, I'm going to expect the miracle, and then going through my day and being back in the old habits. You know, because quantum physics will say it's your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions in alignment that create that manifest. So for me, it's about having in place practices that you can do every day on the regular. I remember when we were doing, for example, some prosperity work at one point, I had written down some prosperity affirmations and I put them in my wallet. So every time I opened my wallet, I was seeing it. So it wasn't just something I did in the morning in the mirror for 2 minutes and then went about my day and forgot. Every time I open my wallet, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the message. I'm seeing the message. I'm seeing the message. So for me, to stay connected to my center is something that feels appropriate to do the first thing I wake up. You know, before you check your phone, before you go on social media, you just say, let me spend time with me. Let me spend time with me first, because if I don't like spending time with me, how do I expect anyone else to want to spend time with me? Staying connected to purpose is something that we've been doing in our journal practice that you shared with me when we were away traveling, is making a Dharma list for every day.
Dharma list!
What Dharma wants to happen today? You know, so I might write things like, it's my Dharma today to practice my French. It's my Dharma today to answer this email. Oh, I got this idea in my meditation about this new class. So a Dharma project for today would be writing out the synopsis for that class or doing some research. You just start to think about what are those next inspired action steps that are coming in your morning practice. And then throughout the day, you're executing your Dharma list. So you're staying connected also with the congruence of when the universe gives you a step, you execute. So then you're showing the universe, look, I mean business. When it comes to my Dharma, like when you give me an action step, I do it. So look how ready I am for bigger and bigger steps.
Mm.
So you're cultivating this really healthy relationship and communication amongst you and divine. And the connection to divine is just so individual. But I know for me lately, it's really had a lot to do with nature. And I was reading this one study that said spending 15 minutes in nature, you know, raises your mood by 50% or something like crazy. So for me lately, it's been this real mindfulness of trying to spend time with a tree, trying to spend time with feet on the grass, trying to spend time, you know, I went this morning to the botanical gardens in Brooklyn just to see how green the green was, just to look at the rose garden, just to say, wow, you know, universe doesn't make mistakes. Look how pretty creation is. So why would I think it makes any mistakes with me?
Mm.
So those are just the ones. Daily personal practice, Dharma list, and spending time in nature are really the ones that I'm connected to right now, just because all three of those are things that I don't control. You know, what I do daily is an offering. It's not something I'm trying to control. I'm not trying to make myself better. I'm not trying to achieve anything. I'm not trying to get anywhere. It's just an offering. It's an offering to my spirit. I'm showing up for you. I'm here with you. I'm just loving on you. I'm not trying to fix you or make you better. I'm just spending time with you. The Dharma list is just a listening. So rather than being the one talking all the time and deciding what the best next step is, what's the next step? I'll execute it. Let me be in communication as a listener and as a steward for what the universe wants me to do. And then being in nature just constantly reminds me how much bigger it is than me. And I'm just like, that flower's got no problem letting its petals fall on the ground. So why am I so scared to let this thing go? Or why do I think it's all so personal? You know, it's so much bigger and there's no mistakes there. Nature is perfect and it has a rhythm. And the more time I spend seeing how nature does what it does, it helps me get out of my humanness and into a deeper wisdom.
That's gorgeous.
Whew. And you, my love.
Well, the first one that comes to me of staying connected to my center, I find for some reason that when I put my hand on my heart, it immediately gets me in connection with myself. Like there's almost a sweetness, like a little girl sweetness that's inside of me that I can really connect with.
Mm.
And I've been doing this practice where I talk to her throughout the day. And I love on her. And I compliment her all the time. I find that to be a really helpful practice for me because I do think we can get into that reptilian brain negativity bias where we can, without meaning to, get into our critical mindset. So it's always really important to me to like put my hand on my heart, just maybe it's right after I walk out of a meeting and say, you did a really great job in there, or you look so pretty today, or I really appreciate your listening, or I'm proud of you for getting up after you traveled and going to a bar class. Mm-hmm. Just a little way of saying, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'm here with you. Mm-hmm. I'm present with you. A way to correct a self-abandonment that I think gets taught in our society. So it's a way, how do I come back to just loving myself more than I expect anyone else to?
Love that.
And then purpose. So as we've been talking about play, and play being what opens us up, is also asking myself, how do I want to play right now?
Yes.
So on the airplane coming home last night, how do I want to play? Because I can get into that place where I'm like, I need to read this script and type up these notes and return this email. How do you want to play? How I want to play is I wanted to watch the Gary Shandling Zen Diaries, which watching, because Gary Shandling was so spiritual and also really came up against his shadow, was exactly how my Dharma wanted to sit and be in this kind of conversation about what it's like to be an artist who's trying to elevate an art form and also walk a spiritual path.
Right, because Dharma, or even our Dharma list, just to be clear, isn't a to-do list. You know, Dharma list is about listening for inspired actions, for next steps, but joyous steps, exciting steps, fun things to do.
Yes, exactly. And staying connected to the divine often starts with just thank you throughout the day.
Mm.
So like you, I do my personal practice in the morning, which is my favorite time of all
day. Favorite time.
I actually have visions of, I just want personal practice till about noon.
Do you know that I am so jet lagged that I'm getting up, you know, like between like 4:30 and 5 a.m. and I've never been happier, because it means I have like a 3-hour morning practice. And like, heaven. Oh, it's so good.
So good. And I find that if throughout the day, I'm just like catching those high fives from the divine.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for this time with Natalie. Thank you for this beautiful coffee. Thank you for this adorable polka dotted shirt I'm wearing.
Oh, it's so cute.
Thank you very much.
So cute.
It's a way of staying in a communication of, I'm noticing. I see you. I appreciate you. I'm receiving. I'm listening. This kind of intimacy.
The dialogue is always open.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I do think that the calling is to get into a place where that inner world life is so much stronger, actually, than the outer world life. There's this quote, and I believe it's from Master Eckhart, and he said, I began to live in the world as if only God and I existed, and gave up everything that was not God. So I always think of this as, I'm not going to get triggered by anything else in the world. Like, I'm still going to interact. I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to love. I'm going to
be curious about.
I'm going to go out and do my thing. But I'm going to live in the world where this connection is the one that is living through me, that is the most real than anything else going on.
Which feels so powerful to our reader's question, which is really, when everything in my life is changing, when the foundation is crumbling, when I can't hold on to anything, when I can't control anything, what do I do? Number one, you know that all the things that are falling away are for you.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you know that all the things that are falling away aren't real.
Uh-huh.
Number three, you know that the only thing left will be what is real. And just get excited and curious and in love with that relationship. And maybe it'll be easier to connect to center, purpose, and divine when all that other stuff isn't in the way as a distraction.
Well, yeah, it's actually that stuff's getting cleared out.
Exactly.
So that center, purpose, and divine can take center stage.
So it's all that's left.
It's all perfect.
It's all perfect. I have this great Osho quote.
Please do.
That talks about the universe and kind of the opposite of control, mm-hmm. which is, as we've been talking about it, surrender and trust. He says, be receptive, be loving, and trust the nature that has given birth to you, because you are its extension. You are not separate from it. It cares for you. It protects you in life and in death. It is your security, and it is the only security that there is. So feel secure, feel at ease, feel relaxed. And one day when the mind is completely silent, truth will happen. It will simply come like a ray of light into the darkness of existence, and all will be revealed.
All will be revealed.
So trust that everything that's moving and shifting and shaking and crumbling is just the untruth clearing the way so that beautiful ray of truth sunlight can come and shine on your beautiful face.
Yeah, there's this one Abraham Lincoln quote that I thought was really great about surrender. He says, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seem insufficient for that day." So even Abraham Lincoln, who did some of the most incredible things in our history, hit walls where he went, "I don't know where to go.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. And I'm going to turn it over."
Turn it over.
Yeah.
That's the gift. That's the moment of grace. When we fought so hard that we can't fight anymore, that's when the miracle comes. And so perhaps we can all decide we could learn through ease instead of struggle. That's an option. Perhaps we don't have to try to control so much that we finally throw our hands in the air and say, "Well, I can't possibly control it. Now what?" And then the miracle comes in. Maybe wherever you are in your life, you could just say, "Well, what if I gave up control anyway? Even if I'm not at rock bottom, even if I don't, quote, have to, what if I just took a little step back and said, show me? I trust in something greater. I trust in a co-partnership, a co-creative spirit that's bigger than me, that is also connected to me, that I'm not separate from." And what happens when we walk through life with the eyes that it's for us, that we are supported, and that the thing we're trusting in has dreams for us that are bigger than we could even dream?
That's what I like to call divine surfing.
Yes, divine surfing. Ah, that felt good.
Yes.
I love it. I hope we answered part one of your question, beautiful goddess reader. And friends, stay tuned for the next several podcasts as we dig into the rest.
Ooh.
Thank you for listening to this beautiful podcast. We have a lot of fun stuff coming up your way. I have a couple of really interesting classes coming up in New York. I'm teaching a class on intimacy and connection. I'm also teaching a class on visualization and quantum creating. I'm also doing a couple of cool things. I'm going to start selling some online meditations via our new website. So if you're interested in cultivating a new meditation practice, you can check that out. We have our online course on our website. We have a couple more surprises coming for you in the upcoming months. So there's a lot going on. So there's two places you can go to find out all of this juicy information. The first is our website, thecreateseries.com. And if you go there and you sign up for our mailing list, you're going to get a free downloadable how to start a morning practice document that Kristen and I wrote for you. And we don't send a lot of emails. So don't worry, join the mailing list. You'll see cute pictures and find out all about what we're doing. And the other place is the Create Community Facebook page, c.r.e.a.t.e community. Come and join that page. It's the most supportive place. And in those two places, you'll be able to find out about all of our offerings and all the exciting things we have on the horizon for you. And also all of Kristen's new exciting, cool projects. If you want to come and see some cool theater in New York City.
We love you very much. Have an excellent week. Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?